Sermon study R2R number 11. The following message, titled The Star, was given on Christmas Day, Sunday morning, December 25th, 1960.
It wouldn't be fair for all of you that have come such a long way to go out without the word of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives the most precious messages when they're just a few present. Seems like God has a way of rewarding. Recently on the Christmas store, we've had some wonderful lessons here. I don't know what they've meant to you, but they meant a lot to me. As Brother Leroy said a while ago, the two greatest things in the world that you can know is the Scripture and the power of God. And so it says here, but when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, reading in the second chapter of Matthew in verse 1. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Beloved, they didn't see a literal star in the sense that it's a natural star. I know that in one sense, the stars that hang in the sky, they are his stars too. I know that. But beloved, they said, we have seen his star. It was the star of David that appeared. And I understand that Brother Pierce here, Brother Pete, that he had quite an argument with the fellows that was making the star for the play, because he insisted that the star have 6 points. And the fellows that were doing the making, they couldn't understand that. They said, whoever saw a star with 6 points? Said, everybody knows that a star has just 5 points. But, beloved, the star of David has 6 points. And we've learned how those triangles fit together there to make the star of David. So they said, we have seen his star. What did the star of David represent? Beloved, it represents the rule and the reign. Oh my, when it was revealed unto the, those wise men over there, they saw Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They said, we've seen his star. Where is he that's born King of the Jews? We've seen his star. What star? The kingly star of the house of David. We've seen each other in the east, and we've come to worship him. Praise God. Now, I don't have to use my blackboard because you're used to drawing patterns, and you can draw your own pattern. And so I'm going to preach to you around the cross of Jesus again. That's the only place I know to preach. There's a lot of people that get tired of this cross message, Brother Leroy. And they say it don't feed their soul. Well, bless their hearts, they can just pick up and go somewhere else then, because it feeds my soul. And it just thrills me to death. It's him. And I'm feeding on him. And I'm in love with him. And I'm moving on with him from day to day. Beloved, it's wonderful to fall in love with him. Beloved, listen, you can have salvation. And you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still not know him in the sense of the bridegroom. That's right. That's why Paul, he was saved. He had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'd been baptized in Jesus' name. But beloved, he still cried out. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now listen to me. There are 4 times in the Word of God that this business of the star of Jesus Christ is mentioned. That Jesus is likened unto a star. Now let's look at it. And you know where to begin? At the bottom of the cross. And the first time, beloved, that it is mentioned is over in Numbers, the 24th chapter. Let's go back to the 24th chapter of Numbers. And sometime I'll teach you and share with you the things that the Lord has given unto me concerning this matter of Balaam the prophet. There's a lot of wonderful study. There are a lot of rich, wonderful spiritual meat to eat and to behold. Let's go back into the 24th chapter of Numbers, and you'll find the star of Jacob. He's called the star out of Jacob. Jesus is called the star out of Jacob in the 24th chapters of Numbers. And let's begin in the 15th verse. There were four prophecies that Balaam gave unto the house of Israel. There's another stature of the cross. And sometimes we'll teach on it if Jesus tarries and is willing. Oh, that's a wonderful study. And this is the fourth prophecy that Balaam gave. Balak hired him and brought him over, hoping that he would curse the house of Israel. But instead of that, God just made him bless. Oh my, the house of Israel. And this was the fourth blessing or the fourth prophecy. Let's read it together in unison, beginning in the 15th verse through the 25th verse. Let's read together. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty fallen into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, and Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and it shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. Now then, let's look at this. First of all, there's the fourfold prophecy here of Jesus beginning here. And he said, and there shall come a star out of Jacob. We want to talk about Jesus. Today is his birthday, 1960 some odd years ago, because we're a little bit further up on the calendar, chronologically speaking, than 1960. But 1960 some odd years ago, this star was born and conceived, this star out of Jacob in the manger of Bethlehem. And let's look and see what this star out of Jacob was going to do. And so let's look here. And he said, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and shall destroy all the children of Seth. What's he talking about? Who was Seth? Adam and Eve's son. All right, wait, somebody tell me the truth. Somebody said he was the son of Noah. What was that? What were Noah's three sons' names? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I want you to notice this. In the beginning, this is an interesting thought, and sometime I'll preach on it. Now, let's keep our minds upon the Lord. Adam had two sons, Cain and Abel. Isn't that right? And God had ordained that through Abel was going to come the righteous seed, that seed that we have talked about and preached about so much here. This spiritual seed that God promised unto Eve that was passed all the way down into the womb of the Virgin Mary. But the devil was mad, and he's always tried to destroy God's seed. And so he tried to destroy, and not only tried, but he did destroy Abel, didn't he? And the Bible said that God appointed Adam and Eve another son, another seed in the place of Abel. And his name was Seth. Now then, and so they went on down, man lived on, and they come on down until the time of the flood. And the time of the flood, there were two groups of people in the earth, the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Seth. And all of them were wicked. both the race of Seth and the race of Cain. Or rather, I should say the people. There was one race. But the people, the descendants of Seth, these two sons now of Adam, and Seth and Cain. And so only Noah and his three sons and his wife and their the wives of the sons, those eight people, were saved out of the descendants of Seth. And all the Cainites were destroyed. Beloved, that's the picture. Amen. One day, God is going to take over the affairs of this earth, and all the children of the devil are going to be destroyed, and only those which are righteous are going to remain.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Now then, so then when the flood was over and every living soul had been destroyed in the earth except these eight sons from Seth, Noah and his wife, these eight people, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they were all descendants of Seth. So then that the whole earth has been populated from the family of Seth. Is that clear? According to your physical, natural birth. Now listen to me. And except that people be born again and have a spiritual birth, beloved, they're still natural descendants of Seth. And with this star out of Jacob and this scepter out of Israel shall arise to judge the earth, every descendant of Seth is going to be destroyed, literally.
Yeah.
You understand what he's talking about here? Now he enumerates them. Let's look at them. There's seven descendants here that he begins to enumerate. And they have spiritual meaning for you and for me. Now let's listen to the word of the Lord and draw a spiritual picture that we might apply unto our own lives. Beginning in verse 18, he mentions the first one. Edom shall be a possession. What does Edom speak of? Now this is literal. Jesus is going to do this when he comes again as the star out of Jacob and the scepter out of Israel. Amen. The star out of Jacob refers to the crucified Christ, and the scepter out of Israel refers to the resurrected Christ. When he comes again, this is what he's going to do. And it's a picture, a type of what he will do in your heart, in my heart, in our lives, if we will go on with him. And the first people that he's going to possess are the people of Edom. What does Edom mean? Beloved, Edom means to be red in the face, to boil. It refers to anger. It's typing it to us personally and spiritually. The first thing that God wants to get a hold of and possess in your earth, in my earth, are all the little peoples that get angry inside of you. Did you know that, huh? We all get angry, don't we, huh? One time, another, one way or another. And to go on with God and let Jesus possess, amen, the star out of Jacob. What is the star? I told you before, the star refers to the prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, prophecy is imparted here at the labor in this business of growing up in the spiritual stature. You need Jesus Christ to prophesy to you what needs to come out of you. Did you know that? It doesn't do any good for somebody else to tell you. You won't believe them. That's why I keep my mouth shut. I used to think people would believe me, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut and let Jesus do the prophesying to people, beloved. Be careful how you tell the other fellow what's wrong with him. All you'll do is make him mad. Did you know that? And you'll set him back further in the race for God, that if you just kept your mouth shut and prayed and asked Jesus to shine unto him. Because, beloved, God has got to possess your anger if you're going to go on with the Lord. Because, beloved, we cannot very often be angry without committing a sin. Did you know that? That's right. Hurrying on real quick here. And the second thing he said here, Sarah also shall be a possession for his enemies. Now, beloved, I'm going to let you do a little research. Those of you that are Bible students, we won't go to it now. But if you'll turn and read
in the 35th chapter of Ezekiel when you get time, and in the book of Obadiah, and you'll find that God talks about the perpetual hatred of Mount Seir. Seir is a type of hatred. Beloved, God wants to conquer. Your anger and your hatred is one of the first two things that must be possessed if you're going to go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't hate nobody. It's just because you don't understand what hatred is. We either love or we hate. And beloved, listen, when we love, we're going to have the kind of love that he talks about over there in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And I don't know how you feel when you read that chapter, but when I read that chapter, I feel like I'm still in kindergarten. Where it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not provoked, the original says. You know why we get provoked? Because we hate down inside. People provoke us because we hate their attitudes or their dispositions. Oh, yes, we try to make ourselves holy and righteous and say, yeah, we love them, but we hate their way. No, you see what I mean? When you really hate something with holy hatred, you hate it in yourself first. And most of us, we hate it in the other fellow, but we tolerate it in our own attitudes and our own dispositions. Hurrying on real quick here, and down in verse 20, it said, and then he looked on Amalek, which speaks of rebellion, and he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. What did he mean here? When he prophesied and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. Was Amalek the first of the nations? And literally, what's he talking about, huh? Do you understand what you read? Amalek was the first of the nations that persecuted Israel. You see what I mean? When she came up out of Egypt, Amalek was her first persecutor. The ones that rebelled, they didn't want Israel to go over to Canaan's land. Remember how Amalek was sneaky? She sneaked in behind where there was just the children and the older people, because the warriors were in front, and she sneaked in behind and attacked Israel and warred upon the children there and the women. History tells us that. And so Amalek was the first that persecuted Israel. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, thou puttest thy nest in the rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted until Asher carry thee away a captive. And the Kenite, that word Kenite means to lament and to mourn. It's that spirit, beloved, of the flesh that wants to be sad and complain and mourn. You know why we complain and we fret? It's because we're sad. Things that grieve us and irritate us because they don't go to suit us and so forth. And so hurrying on down real quick, and he said, and verse 24, and ships shall come from the coast of Shittim and shall afflict Asher. Asher was one of the nations, or Assyria, and that means a successful. That's another thing that God has to possess in us, beloved, is that old spirit that will drive us, each one of us, that we want to be a big success in the religious world. We want to be a success in the world. We want to be successful. It's that spirit of success that's keeping people, beloved, from Jesus Christ right this morning. Did you know that? Sister Broadus was telling me about a Chinese man that she was witnessing to there. She'd been out to a village or someplace, and she's already working for the Lord, busy carrying the gospel, and she was witnessing to some man about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you ought to receive him. And he says, but I can't receive him. He said, I believe in what you tell me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But he said, I can't receive him because I'm in business, and my business is to make incense for the idols and all kinds of paraphernalia for idol worship. And it would mean my business. It would mean my success if I take Jesus. Beloved, there's a lot of people this morning would take Jesus if they didn't have to give up their success. You see what I mean? And there's a lot of people, I met them out there in California, Hollywood, that's trying to hold on to success and trying to hold on to Jesus Christ too. Beloved, you'll not do it. You'll end up blaspheming one or the other. You'll have to turn your back on one or the other. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon, wealth or success. You can't serve both of them. You just can't do it. You can't. cannot hold on to God and the success of this world at the same time. You'll have to give up Asher. You'll have to let the star out of Jacob and the scepter out of Israel smite him and deliver you from him. Amen. And so notice this. And he said, and he shall afflict Eber. He's going to get in on the punishment too. And Eber means to cross over. It means transition. And beloved, that's one of the deepest things. Listen to me. It's from this fella, as it were. We're typing it spiritually. This is going to happen literally when Jesus Christ comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's a picture to you and me this morning of what God wants to do in our hearts. You know, the greatest thing that you have to fight this morning until you get it crucified is that old spirit of being double-minded, being crossing over from one opinion to another. Did you know that? Have you had that experience? You can get around somebody and they can talk and go out their side of the store and you agree with them wholeheartedly. And then when you get around somebody else and they go out a different store, if you're not careful, the flesh in you is going to cross over to where they are and you're going to agree wholeheartedly with them. And I know people who come and hear this message and they receive it with joy and they say, oh yes, this is the way I want to go. I want to go to the crucified place, and then they get around another bunch of people, that's going in a different direction, and even it's against the crucified way because they don't want to tell it up and let God dig and cut by the sharp sword of the Word of God, and then they'll cross over. Well, as long as you're crossing over, you're not stable, are you? God wants us to be stable. You can't be crossing over from one side to another and stay in this straight and narrow way and move on in the crucified way. Beloved, you've got to have a fixed heart and a fixed mind, and it'll never be fixed until that spirit of double-mindedness is taken out of you. And all these works in little ways. A lot of times you think you're going to fast and pray. A lot of times you're that close to the Lord. A lot of times you get stirred up in the house of God, and you think, oh my, I'm going to really study my Bible this week. I'm going to really pray this week. I'm going to really move on. And stuck along, you're not out of the church of God. Sometimes an hour until old Eber's taken over inside of you. And you've just crossed over, going back to your own way, doing what you want to do, entertaining yourself, reading what you want to read, doing what you want to do with your time, instead of seeking God. We could go on down the line with this thing. He's got to go when the star of Jacob appears. And beloved, the star of Jacob, which is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, he will prophesy to you. He'll speak to you. He'll show you the things that must come out. He's prophesying this morning. There's a word that he preached to you. This is the prophetic word, the prophetic message that will show you what's got to come and what will come if you're going to go on for God. Number 7 here, let's hurry on. He speaks of Shittim there. And when he speaks on down here, he said, he also shall perish forever. Speaking of Shittim, you know who Shittim was? It's Rome, beloved. Rome was the last of Israel's persecutors. Amalek was first and Shittim, or Rome was last. And listen, he's going to be last of our persecutors. It was political Rome that persecuted Israel in those days. It's ecclesiastical Rome that's persecuting God's people, Israel, spiritual Israel today. Did you know that? Let's hurry on real quick now. I'm giving you just a whole lot of things here. Those of you that are spiritual minded, you'll take these seeds and you'll put them in your spiritual flower garden in your heart, and you'll dig and you'll study. Let's go now quickly to the second time that Jesus Christ is mentioned as a star in the Word of God, and let's see the purpose of it. And so what did the star out of Jacob prophesy to us about over here? Huh? Let's see if you got it. Doing away with hell. In other words, he prophesies what must go before his kingdom can be set up in fullness. Now we know it's literally, he's prophesying literally of what's going to happen in the nation, but it is also a picture, beloved, a type to us of what must go in our own hearts and lives if Jesus is to rule and reign right now in our hearts and lives. Not knowing him just as Savior, but knowing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's hurry on. Into 2 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 19, you'll find him, beloved, mentioned again as the day star. And remember again, we said that the star refers to the prophetic ministry of the Lord. Let's go to the second epistle of Peter and the first chapter. That's a wonderful chapter there. Let's begin with the 15th verse, because that gives us the context there. Begin with the 15th verse in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And Peter says here, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, which when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Now he is writing to Christians, beloved. He's not writing to sinners. He's writing and saying, go on with God. Amen. Until Jesus is formed like the day star, this wonderful prophetic star. And what will that star prophesy to you about? Just like when it appeared to the wise men over there, it prophesied to them and said, over in Jerusalem, there's a little baby that's born, a king of the Jews, or over there in Palestine. And they came unto Jerusalem seeking, where is he that's born king of the Jews? We've seen his star over there in the east. The star prophesied to them. Beloved, without a vision, listen to me, the people perish. Without a vision this morning, you're going to perish. Did you know that, spiritually speaking? God's got to open your eyes and show you new heights in Jesus, new depths in yourself to be crucified before you'll have a desire to move higher in God. And so how we need the day star to arise in our hearts. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so he said, here, going back to verse 19, he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherefore ye do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Beloved, what's he talking about? He said this word is like a light, and it'll shine in a dark place. That means a dry place, a place that is a void of water. It's dry. It's empty. There's no moisture. There's nothing there that would cause a seed to take root. Beloved, there are areas in your heart and my heart that the Word of God still hasn't shined yet. You see what I mean? And he said it's a sure word, the prophecy. Let it keep on shining down into your heart until Jesus arise as a day star. Praise God. Oh my. Beloved, listen, it's wonderful to have the gift of prophecy. That's what God was doing last night when he was prophesying. It was the day star that was arising. And it's wonderful to be in prayer and have the day star arise and speak to you concerning the people in the church, where they are, what he wants to do for them, and where he wants to take them. Beloved, it's wonderful. And how are you going to do that, beloved? How is he going to be formed as a star in your spiritual sky? It's only through the Word of God. Letting the Word of God in the light of the Word. What does the day star want to prophesy about? It's his Word, the value of his Word. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's hurry on real quick here and moving on over into Revelation 2:28, and we see again Jesus mentioned as a star. Let's move into the second chapter of Revelation and verse 28, giving us the 4 points around the cross again of Jesus as a star. 4 times in the Word of God that Jesus is mentioned as a star. Praise God. No, that's not what I want. It's the church of Thyatira that the morning star was promised. That takes us on up at the candlestick in the holy place there. It was there that they had the same teaching, yes, of teaching God's people to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And Jezebel, that called herself a prophetess, she wasn't any prophetess. She just called herself one and was teaching God's people those things. And he said, as many here as had not known the depths of Satan. Satan has depths, just like God has depths. Did you know that? And so he said, as many as had not known the depths of Satan, but would be overcomers. Let's look what he would do for them in verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I've received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Beloved, when you overcome, he's going to give you a new realm of prophecy. He's going to give you a new realm of the prophetic star. Even Jesus Christ, that'll prophesy to you of a new day. What's the morning star for? It prophesies. It hangs there as a prophetic star, telling us there's a new day ahead. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Beloved, God wants us to go on with him so that regardless of the test, regardless of the trial, regardless of the darkness of the night, Jesus will be hanging in your spiritual sky like a prophetic star, telling you there's a new day ahead. That's what keeps you going on. Beloved, that's what gives you victory. That's what gives you grace to believe and to press on when you don't know how to go and you can't see one ray of light. Amen. That's why he put you there, so you can't see anything but him. Amen. If you see any light, you've got to look to him. Let's go on and get the last one now. We could preach a long time on this subject here. Let's go on over into the latter part of Revelation in the 22nd chapter. And this is a precious a part of God's word here. And may it be open to your heart and to my heart this morning. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation, we find the star is completely revealed and mentioned in a way that we don't hear it mentioned in any other way. He's talking, he just got through describing here paradise. In the 22nd chapter, God started out with man in paradise, and he's ending up with man in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? Even though that it's a sad story in between Genesis and Revelation of man's failure, man's disobedience, and the awful sacrifice that God had to provide through his Son in suffering and humiliation. But how wonderful, on the other hand, that God didn't let the devil walk off with the victory. And God provided a way, and God restored paradise unto man. And those that meet the condition will be able to go in. And let's start with verse 14. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. And we know that the tree of life is in a paradise. And they may enter in through the gates into the city, this new Jerusalem, this heavenly city. And he said, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There's seven different classes of people that won't be in the city. They're without the city. Beloved, listen, he said, for without are dogs. What are dogs? Dogs are those that bite and devour, and they're scavengers and feed out of the garbage cans. Beloved, let me tell you something. We're not going to feed our souls out of the garbage cans. Neither are we going to feed our souls on biting and backbiting and devouring and expect to be in the holy city, because God said they're without. Amen. And he said, number two, sorcerers. And that word sorcerer means a spellbound, a spell-giving potion, a potion of drug and medication for a spellbounding. Just like in the olden days, they had certain drugs that they could take that would put them in a spell, and they could lay hold of the powers of darkness. And I understand that they have them down here in South America and certain parts of Mexico. Big write-up, somebody told me recently, not too long ago, in a magazine, how they could eat certain kinds of mushrooms and they could get into a certain spellbound portion, and they just prophesy and see visions and speak in tongues and all the rest of it. Beloved, listen, the devil, he's an imitator, and everything that God does, he tries to imitate. Did you know that? But they're not going to be in the city. They're going to be without. Number three, he said here, and whoremongers, beloved, we're not going to live like the devil and expect to be in that city. We're not going to be whoremongers. We're not going to be murderers. We're not going to be idolaters. And we're not going to love a lie. Listen, there's something down in our flesh that if we don't get it crucified, we love to hear gossip. We love to hear something about somebody else. And beloved, 9 times out of 10, they haven't been more God's strength than anything.
Amen.
The flesh don't know how to tell anything straight. I could start and give you just one sentence to repeat and send it down this side and back up this side. And by the time it got on this side, it wouldn't bit more resemble what I sent out than anything. Did you know that, huh? That's right. Love a lie. Be careful. Oh my, what you hear. Just don't let your ears hear anything. Even when people are telling you, let your heart, let the Holy Ghost in your heart be the judge of what you listen to, beloved. Well, it's pitiful what people will tell. Honestly, it's pitiful. And not only loving it, if you listen to it, you listen because you love it.
Amen.
Not only that, but make a lie. I've heard so many lies this past week that people have made upon me. Just as big and black as could be. But bless God, beloved, for victory, that I'm learning to rejoice when we're evil spoken of for Christ's sake. They'll be without. He said, and I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He had the bright. Beloved, that gives us up to the top of the cross. That word bright means radiant, to beam, to shine, to light, and to reveal. He said, I am the bright and the morning star. Oh, beloved, what will we say? What will we do when Jesus perfected in us? This is real precious. I want you to get this. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this portion that I'm about to give you right now. When Jesus is perfected in your heart as the bright and morning star, you're going to be able to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I don't mean saying it with your carnal mind, but I mean saying it from the cry of your heart. Yes, I know there's a desire in me this morning to see Jesus. There's a desire in me that I'm hungry. There's a desire that sometimes when I get an ache or pain in my body, I start rejoicing and think, maybe this is the time I'm going to go be with Jesus, because I love him and I'm longing to see him. But beloved, there's another part of my being that cannot say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because I see things in my life and in my heart that I want to get crucified before he comes. You see what I mean? Oh my, I see places in him that I haven't gotten yet, and I want to get there before he comes. And so, beloved, when the bright and morning star is formed, when it's bright, when it's shining, when it's radiant, oh my, it'll be prophesied with such glory and such power of how wonderful that day is going to be when Jesus comes to take you away. Beloved, there'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more fear when you get an ache or a pain that you're scared to death you're going to die. Oh my, I want the bright and morning star to be formed in my heart that I can say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I never really understood this until God opened it up. I thought we were saying come to bring people to the Lord. That's not what he's talking about. Let's look at it. And the Spirit and the bride say come. What's he talking about? Beloved, the bride is going to say come. Come, Lord Jesus. And let him that heareth say come. That word hear means he that has heard and obeyed. The man that's heard the word of God and is obeying the word of the Lord, there's going to be a cry for Jesus to come back again. That's what the cry is here, for him to come quickly. And let him that is athirst say come. Praise God. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so calm, Lord Jesus. I believe that John had so grown in the Lord Jesus Christ that he had the bright and morning star radiated in his heart when he was out there alone on the Isle of Patmos and suffering because of the gospel of Christ. That when he heard Jesus say and testify, I come quickly, John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Beloved, you cannot say come, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of your soul until you begin to have a measure of the star of David born in your heart. You understand? How many of you understand what I'm talking about this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's bow our heads now.
This is the end of sermon study number R2R number 11.